When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Paul?
Yes?
How do you use your difference to make a difference?
I try to be a mirror on reality. I try to write things that I see. I don't try to shade them. I don't try to teach you. I don't want to moralize. I don't believe I'm any smarter than you. And I know I'm not any smarter than a lot of people, especially my students. I want you to read what I write and see reality in it and then bring what you see to it. That's how I try to do it when I'm not here personally. When I'm with you personally, I'm not about the books. I'm about talking to you. I'm about listening to you. I'm that guy when the old man starts to speak and tell the story from way back in the day. I'm the guy glued to him. I'm giving him the little prompts to keep on going because I realize what he has is important. I want to hear it, and it must be important if this person wants to share it with me. So when you have me in person, I try to be that listener and that person who can bring out what you're trying to say because I really want to hear it. And when you don't have me and you're just in a library and see a book on the shelf, then I've got that other way to try to connect with you.
How you day? How you day? That was the voice of Paul, Paul Vapone. Paul is a prolific author, as you'll soon find out, but we are talking about a book he co-authored with Hannah Gracie. Hannah Gracie, as you find out, has a unique history with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And we talk about the path to writing the book, how the book came about, and the lessons that we can learn and translate from martial arts, jiu-jitsu to life. The episode also dives into Paul's varied career as a teacher, as an author, as a writer, as a journalist. And I think for many of you who are thinking that you have to be one thing in life, you're going to find yourself inspired by how life gives you multiple opportunities to tap into skill sets that maybe you haven't been given enough shine. I hope that you get the book, and I hope that you also do a deep dive into Paul as a person, because he's written, 20 books at this point. So I hope that you enjoy that, and I hope that this is just an episode that reminds you of how limitless you are. People like to tell you that you're limited, but remember, there is no one that can put a limit on yourself except you. So if you're doing that right now, please stop and remember your greatness. Enjoy the episode. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's guest is Paul Vapone. Now, Paul Vapone is the award-winning author of 20 books, including Phyllis George, Shattering the Ceiling, a nonfiction biography, and the novels The Final Four on the New York City Chancellor's reading list of NYC Reads 365. Top prospect, part of Scholastic's National Book Club, and Black and White, winner of the International Reading Association Children's Book Award. So he's pretty prolific. He's also the recipient of a dozen American Library Association honors. We're going to be talking primarily about his 19th book, which is called The 32 Principles Harnessing the Power of Jiu-Jitsu to Succeed in Business, Relationships, and Life, which he co-authored with Renner Gracie. But before
yes,
that,
ma'am.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, it is great to see you. Now, his name is Renner. Because in Portuguese, the R comes as the H.
See? Already yeah. corrected. I love it. So Henner Gracie.
Henner Gracie. And my co-author, Henner, is the grandson of Helio Gracie, who invented the art of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So I was really, really lucky to work with someone as accomplished as Henner, who's come from such a great tradition, to put the faith in me to work with him on something that he studied his entire life.
Yeah.
But today, I'm going to let you in on a secret that either few people know or really no one has stopped to ask me. You see, though I'm a fairly decent, accomplished martial artist, I have never studied a lick of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, a book that I wrote about. So I know you're thinking, well, Paul, how is that possible? How is it that this book has become hit 3 bestseller lists? It's currently number 2 at the Wall Street Journal. How is it possible, Paul, that you could have co-authored this book without having studied Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu yourself? And I'm going to give you a good answer, because it's all about culture. First of all, I got to take my hat off to Henner and his brother, who invented the 32 principles, who took the art of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and pared it down to these 32 principles. They did it with such clarity that someone like myself, who has not studied Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, could see their video series, which preceded the book. I could sit down and watch it, and they were so clear and so concise that I understood everything they were saying. Of course, my own martial arts background helped me plenty, because all martial arts share something in common. They really share, you know, the foundation of balance, angles, and distance. And that was very prevalent in the 32 principles. So I got to take my hat off to them for putting me in a situation that I could do it. I also want to really thank my teacher, William Moy, here in New York City. Henner is based in California, because even though I studied Kung Fu with him, very different, or at least different enough from Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, William Moy was so focused on teaching me principles that when I saw the principles the Gracies had done, I was able to understand them, could close my eyes, and could feel how what William had taught me was also there in what the Gracies were teaching. And the other reason I could do it is because, well, authors are kind of like chameleons. Send us into something, let us interview enough people, and in a week and a half, we can almost pass ourselves off as experts, at least talking about something. So all of that came together to bring this book, which I've got so much pride in, and so many people, even though it's only been out for a week and a half, so many people have really loved it, and the numbers are really high of people who've acquired it. And I hope more libraries get it soon. This way, people who don't want to buy books can actually read this thing, get it for free at the public library, which is what I'm all about. You know, I think we did something really good here.
I hope so, too. I mean, I've been going through the book myself. And once again, the book is called The 32 Principles, Harnessing the Power of Jiu-Jitsu to Succeed in Business, Relationships, and Life. I got to ask you a question, though, because I remember watching Henner. I've used Henner to teach in class a few times, because his Shark Tank, his pitch is something I used to teach for public speaking oftentimes. And I liked how creative it was. And you could see his martial arts on display there as he was pitching everyone there. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, you should just type in, you know, Henner Gracie, R-E-N-E-R, Gracie, G-R-A-C-I-E-N, Shark Tank. And I think you'll see it multiple places. But I'm very curious, very dynamic personality, very engaging. I've watched his videos as well. How does that end up being a partnership with you? Because as you said, he's he and his brother created this, and then I'm assuming they brought you on. But what was that process like?
Well, really interesting. When we finished the biography on Phyllis George, and for those of you who don't know, back in the 70s, Phyllis George was Miss America in 1970. It was a time when few women were in sports broadcasting. Nowadays, you watch an NFL game and almost every sideline reporter is a woman. But that was not the case in the 70s. When CBS brought Phyllis George onto their football telecast, they took a lot of flack for it. She marched up a steep hill to become the first woman broadcaster broadcasting football. And a good friend of mine, a terrific writer, Lenny Shulman, the two of us together decided to write her biography. And we had a great time. It is really interesting to write somebody's biography, and the things they did that mattered happened 50 years ago. So it really isn't an easy task. So we went the hard way to find people still alive and do that work and come up with something so wonderful on her. When we finished writing that book, Lenny and I looked at one another and said, hey, we're a pretty good team. We like doing this. Who are we going to write another biography about? And we had a list of people. And for some reason, one of us put the Gracies on the list because they basically represented Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Lenny, you know what? As we each call up these people, I'll take the Gracies just because I've studied martial arts and probably my pitch to them would be a little more succinct than yours. And the Gracies number that I came up with was Henners. So I sent him an email and we talked briefly. And he says, listen, I don't know that I'm interested in doing a biography on myself, but I've got this video series and it's the all-time best video selling series in martial arts. Sold like $1 million worth of product in 3 days. He said, I'd like to turn it into a book. I said, okay, let me see it. He sent me the link. I watched it and the dominoes fell in my head. I said, I know what to do with this. Mm. Not a book at the moment. Their information is amazing. His stories are great. Can we add his stories of his life, one for each principal? It'll be knockout. But I feel like I know what goes around that already to become a book. So I think he sensed the confidence in my voice. My agent loved the idea. Pretty soon we were sitting in front of one of the major publishers, Ben Bella Books, part of Penguin. I had worked for Penguin many times in the past. And we had a deal and we were on our way.
That's so fascinating to me because regardless of what you think of, you know, Will Smith in general, and, you know, I think he's had a wonderful career full of lessons, right? Good and bad. His book, it's the same sort of situation. You know, he had a lot of life, like you can imagine. Everybody knows Will Smith at this point, but the author or the co-author of it was a very different process, right? He had to write down the stories and he talked it out with his co-author, and then it became this amazing bestseller. And I'm wondering how that process really is, because a lot of people don't realize that there, you know, there are multiple ways for you to be an author. Many people in the audience always talk about how they want to write and how they want to essentially create content, but sometimes you can reach out to existing people and collaborate with them. Mark Manson, by the way, was the one that collaborated with Will Smith on his book. And I think it's such a fascinating, under-talked about process.
Well, I think that Henner and I really had focused in that we were going to get a story from him to represent each principal in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to hear that story, and I was going to take the elements of what he said. I was going to pare it down a little bit because every time he spoke to me about a story, it probably ran about 45 minutes. And the book knocks it down to probably 1,500 words, something you can read in about 14 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's condensed. It's the highlights. It's what I do. Bringing
what you do
down to something focused and still very entertaining.
Yeah.
And I think it's great. You know, we were able to walk that line. There we were, two perfect strangers to one another. And are telling me about his life. I certainly did not rewrite it, but I gave it a viewpoint that I thought he was trying to get across. And at a 9 out of 10 of those, they ran the way I had interpreted it from him, which was really all him, just me going along for the ride, but throwing a rope around it, making it tighter. So we didn't have a problem with that at all. And one of the really great things about working with Henner was he gave me a lot of latitude in the rest of the book. The rest of the book, he said, go out there, see what you come up with. And it was my idea to start really interviewing people. Because my thought in this book was, Henner's going to tell us what he believes. And that's fantastic. How many other people can I find, people of renown, people we don't know, who agree with it and who have also used those principles in their lives? Because then it amplifies Henner's thoughts.
Yeah.
He came up with the 32 principles. He says they work for everyone. And I'm going to prove to you that they do. And I've got some wonderful people in this book. First of all, we have Kayla Harrison, who's the only American to win gold medal at the Olympics in judo. She did it twice in a row. She has an incredible backstory. As a young lady, she was abused by her coach.
Yeah.
And she told that story. She has a foundation. So a lot of what she said was about judo and the great feelings in participating in judo. But there's always that point of she's out there to help people now become strong in these various pursuits so people don't get taken advantage of. I was able to get Peter Erskine, the great drummer for Weather Report. He gave me some great input on how a drummer kind of uses martial arts in his own way. If you're a fan of Seinfeld, we have the soup Nazi, Larry Thomas, who is famous for saying, no soup for you in the show. We've got him. So we've got a bunch of people giving kind of testimony in their own swing to it.
Yeah.
And it's really part of the glue of the book. And I got to hand it to Henner.
Henner, yeah.
Because he didn't know I was showing up with this. I kind of whispered in his ear, hey, you know, just so you know, tomorrow I'm interviewing the great pool player from England, Alison Fisher. She's won more pool titles than any of the men combined. He'd say, oh, okay, I'm sure you're going to make it work. So he got out of my way. And I think between the two of us, we have the perfect collaboration here. We have a book focused on the 32 principles. We have a book focused on Henner's life. Yet the scope of it is still wide. Because this book, in actuality, is written for someone who's never done any martial arts in their life. May not want to do martial arts, may never want to set foot on a mat. But if they can read this book and see what the principles are, they can move them into their own lives and see how these principles reflect on the problems they're going through in their lives. And can these principles help them in that way?
Yeah.
I think we've really accomplished that. And what I'm really proud of is I'm kind of one of those people because, again, I'm not a Brazilian jiu-jitsu expert. So as I'm reading it and writing it, if it works for me, part of the target audience, I feel confident it's going to work for you.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into those principles. I picked 7 out of the 32 because I just wanted to give the audience a primer. And
okay.
I wanted to whet their appetite just a bit.
So, now, remember, I'm not an expert in the principles.
That's fine.
I am a Johnny come lately here. Well, from the outside lens. I'm lucky enough to have picked Henner's brain about the principles, but you know, I'll do the best I can with you. Go ahead.
No, that's the point, right? So you get to be the audience purview. This is how the audience will most likely take it as well, or a segment of the audience at least. So with the first one, the connection principle, what exactly do you believe is the lesson there in terms of business relationships and life?
Well, I like it because, it's one I had contact with prior. When you can feel someone coming, when you can feel someone leaving physically, when you have your hand on them, you begin to know your own distance. You begin to know what's coming and what's not coming. Sometimes the first punch comes and you block it. You don't really have to worry about the second hand because there's no power in the second hand until the first hand retracts.
Mm-hmm.
You gain power in the second hand. So I really like the connection principle. I think you can use it in all parts of life. Was really lucky to find Maria, a blind judo player who was in the Paralympics. And she gave us a great interview on how, studying judo has helped her with feeling the space in her life when she's walking down the street, when she's getting on and off the bus. Having gone through judo helps her feel what's around her and what's not. What's the distance? What's the space? She says it's really improved her quality of life. And so I like that connection principle. I think that's probably the one most people can identify with coming in. And very well, it's principle number one. So I think it gives you a walk through the book.
See, I told you. I mean, I was just very curious about that perspective, just because I think a lot of times when we look at what's happened in the recent, last few years, the last decade, essentially on the spectrum, whether it's with life, with socioeconomic issues, with economic issues. And a lot of people have had to deal with how to connect with themselves, with their passions, and with a greater purpose. And so, I was reading that and I was thinking about how a lot of people currently feel disconnected today. And then, I was like, I got to ask Paul this question. If there's a particular practical lesson that he can share based on his interviews.
So I'll take it and help you out. First of all, let me show the book cover of the book that's made a 3 bestseller list in the last several days.
Yeah, let's see.
And I'll take you, since you're talking about connections, I'll take you to my book, Black and White.
Mm.
So Black and White's really part of the connection principle for me. For 6 years, I taught on Rikers Island, the world's biggest jail, where I taught teens to read and write. All of those teens were stuck in jail, couldn't make bail, but obviously they need to go to school. They're not going to let you out of jail to go to school and say, please come back tonight. So they bring school into you. Now, the reason I wrote this book and the reason it's called Black and White is really all about the connection principle. On Rikers Island, in the 6 years I was there, by my loose count, I had about 5,000 different students. Probably about only 15 out of 5,000. If we did the math, I think it comes out to 1/3 of 1%. That's how many white kids are on Rikers Island. 15 out of 5,000 that I met. Everybody else, Black, Hispanic.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Latino. And it's all about the justice system. It's all about who can afford bail, who can't. It's all about how they police the different neighborhoods. And I wrote this book in which two best friends, one Black, one white, do the same crime at the exact same time. Even the white kid's the one who's holding the gun when it accidentally goes off. But they get a different treatment in court. One of them makes it to Rikers Island, one of them doesn't. And that's all about the connection principle, because I was there, I saw it, I felt it. When I'm walking down the street, no matter who you are, no matter who I am, especially in a city like New York City, nothing separates us. There's no fence that separates us.
Yeah,
we're walking right next to each other. What touches you touches me,
mm-hmm,
because I'm so close to you.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I first wrote this book, I had a publisher say to me, "Paul, I'm looking at your last name. We tend to think you're Italian and probably not African American yourself. Paul, if you're not Black, you can't write this book." I said, "Sure, I can, because I've seen it, I felt it, and I have a connection to it." That publisher passed, but Penguin took on this book. We won one of the Book of the Year awards. And my favorite thing in the world is the American Library Association liking the book Black and White, but having never seen a picture of me, put me on a list of famous African American authors.
That's, I don't know how to feel. That is lack of research right there.
Upstairs in my office, behind me, I have a frame. And in the frame is two things. First is the email from the company basically says, "You can't write this book, you're not Black." And underneath it is from American Library Association, "Congratulations, you're a famous African American author." They got me right next to James Baldwin.
Yeah, I got, look, I know that speaks in an interesting way to a disconnection thing we have in this world here, because they could have connected the dots there if they did the right amount of research.
They have since taken me off the list, but I'm mighty proud to have ever hit the list to begin with.
Yeah, but I love that you're using this story, you're juxtaposing that, because when I think of the word connect, that is my world, right? This is what I do, helping people connect effectively across cultures, help people connect themselves, and also helping people connect to their emotions. A lot of things that happen with diversity, equity, inclusion, or anti-racism, you know, there's a lot of trauma related and sure, figuring out how to unlearn certain things, whether it's through the system or through people. And the experience you brought up about those two friends is very similar. And I find that the more you start learning how to become aware, right, of triggers, of emotions, of whatever it is that drives you or drains you, it is so important for people to be able to put a name to it and then to figure out how to build upon that, right? And that's a lot of what jiu-jitsu has been doing. And I found as I was reading 32 principles as well, because you start off with that connection principles, then you go to the detachment idea of that. And I thought that was such an interesting next step after connection, because you're saying detach. So,
Henner told an amazing story about the passing of his beloved mom, and how, you know, she was really ill, and the family decided at some point, you know, the best thing would be to let her go. Mm-hmm. So I got to credit him for telling an incredible story like that. Yes. Yeah, but detachment means a lot of things for a lot of different people, depending on, you know, what the scope of it is. It's a good follow to connection, to understand both sides of it, the yin and the yang.
Pretty much. And it's, I think it's also something very difficult though for people to do in instance. And so, as you were researching the story for this, because I know Henry's told that tragic and touching story, you on the outside, what were you thinking when you heard that principle? And how were you thinking to translate that to the lay people who are reading that?
Well, you know, as a reporter, you always love it when the subject with you goes the extra mile, when the mm-hmm. subject goes beyond what you would tell somebody in an average conversation, when they begin to really talk about the emotion. You know, it comes two ways. It's the great giving between two people. He's giving, I'm receiving, and then it's my turn to take it, even though it's his.
Right.
His story to tell. In a sense, you know, I get to ride shotgun on it, because I get to streamline it a little bit and how it looks, you know, in the finality of a book. And, you know, you'll always have to feel grateful as a writer for those moments. I've interviewed in Hurricane Song about people stuck in Katrina, stuck in the Superdome. I interviewed hundreds of people who were there. And, you know, I love the way they came across and the honesty they had for me. Also in game seven, about people who have escaped from Cuba. I saw an image of a floating car, and it was in the middle of the ocean. And, you know, you could see two people sitting on the roof, and you knew there were more people in the car. Turned out that there were 11 people in that floating car. Right. And to sail a car the 90 miles from Cuba to the U.S. in the open ocean, where any big wave can come through the open window and sink you, that's something that's really putting it all on the line. I didn't get to interview those specific people because I wanted to isolate myself from their story, because this is a novel. But what I did do was interview a lot of people here in New York City who escaped Cuba and things not quite as grandiose as a floating car.
Yeah.
You know, people who tied inner tubes together in some instances and floated here the 90 miles.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a writer, as a reporter, I love it when the subject I'm working with really comes across the line and gives to you. And I think Hannah Gracie has done that for me on so many occasions. Yeah. For me, for himself, and ultimately he gives to the reader in that vein.
Certainly does. Certainly does. And again, the link is going to be in the show notes, as well as links to Paul's other books as well. In life, we redirect. In martial arts, we redirect. In anything, business, we redirect. Relationships, redirect. There's a redirection principle here. Do you have any thoughts on that and what that looks like?
Yeah, you know, I think the redirection principle is really important. So often the world comes at us with great force. And yeah, you can stand in front of that great force and take it head on. You might get knocked down. You might be injured trying to withstand it. But I think that most people over the long run learn to give and take with this great force coming at them. They learn when to at least step halfway out of the way and stay connected to it. Not to get too detached, not to come too connected, but to kind of redirect the force coming at them. That's part of jiu-jitsu. It's basically part of all martial arts.
Yes.
A lot of martial arts talk about that. And it seems really apropos for life as well.
I love it. And I love how you I don't know if you were subtle with this, but you connected it to the first two principles, right? Not to get too connected, not to get too detached, but...
That was total luck.
Oh, it was total luck? Okay.
You'll throw some other principle at me and I'll flounder. When I do, remember how neatly I handled this one.
But it is, you know, I think it's a good segue because... the last principle I want to talk to you about is the last principle, which is the Grandmaster principle. And it's the culmination of all these things. But what does a Grandmaster look like in your sense? I mean, you were working with Henner on this, and you watched his videos, you heard him talk about that. You know what it, you know, he can tell you what it's like to be a black belt in jiu-jitsu. But do we ever get to be black belts in life, in business, in relationships?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And, you know, what's here, I'm really proud of what's here because I think it's the right answer. And I think Henner had the right answer.
Yes.
I think all the teachers I've ever had the right answer. This grandmaster principle doesn't mean you've stopped learning yourself. It means maybe you've gotten to a point where you're aware of the things around you. You're aware of some of the tools in your toolbox. In this book, through this jiu-jitsu lens in which you can view life, but you never stop learning. You never stop because you're always connecting to someone new and they bring something new to the table, no matter who they are. They come as an individual and, you know, you mature as an individual. So it's going to be different for everyone. And I like the way we leave it at that, because it just seems very true. It doesn't give anybody incredible false hopes or expectations that by the time they finish this book, they're going to be someone, you know, unstoppable. What they should be is someone aware of a few more things someone who Henner and I, not that he needs me, I'm just tagging along here, who can open your eyes and say, why don't you consider this? Why don't you consider that? People who've had success have talked about this. Maybe you can consider it in your life as well. And I think people who can do that, people who can sense what's around them, people who can keep an open mind, people who continue to learn, whether it's, hey, how do I chop a tomato more effectively? I'm going to cook something. Or what about this jujitsu lens? I think people who are open like that to learning get to that grandmaster stage and are constantly moving forward with it.
You sly old fox, Paul.
See?
Inside joke, Volpone means sly old fox. I've learned from Paul. That's a last name. I think that's a fascinating approach. Again, the link to the show notes, the link to the book is going to be in the show notes, rather. And everything Paul said is true. It's such a great mirror in life. And I find that in life, there are multiple mirrors that exist if we open our, I guess, metaphorical eyes to it. And I think this is such a great playbook that you can use for your kids, for yourself, your coworkers, your colleagues, and even in your, one-on-one relationships with people, friends or romantic. And I really loved how each principle was paired with a story and even anecdotes. And so it wasn't just your typical self-help book, if you will. It was tested in a way. So
I'll tell you secret number two.
What's the other secret?
I have never read a self-help book. And I've had some family members said, how are you going to write this? You don't read self-help books. And I told them, that's why it's going to be better than your average self-help book. Well, I'm not going to fall into the traps that other people have used because I don't know what they are.
Well, they say that your book is designed to be a personal empowerment experience. So that's how it's been described. It was when it was pitched to me, that's how it was described as well. So I think you might have hit the nail on the head there.
All right.
That was the description, personal empowerment experience. I couldn't help but notice this with you, and having talked to you now for about 30 minutes or so, I can see how influenced you are by people in your life. You wrote that this book is dedicated to all my teachers, from classrooms to street corners, who proved to me that nothing comes easily unless you take self-direction, truly work for it. Why did you write that?
Well, I don't think you can be a writer without taking a lot of self-direction. I was a teacher in New York City for 16 years, 6 on Rikers Island, the world's biggest jail, 6 in a day drug treatment center called Daytop. I do believe Daytop is the biggest treatment center in the world. I loved every moment of being a teacher. The kids on Rikers inspired me to begin to write. In becoming a writer, I didn't really have anyone in my life who was a writer that I could lean on and look to. So I had to go out and start investigating myself. I found people along the way who could be good teachers. When I became a reporter, I just got the job being a reporter. I had never interviewed anybody in my life. And there I was sitting in the press box of the biggest racetrack in the world. And even though I didn't know what I was doing, at least I was smart enough to know that. I sat there with my mouth shut and I watched some of the best reporters around work for several weeks and started to borrow and use some of their things and then started to make them my own. So, I've done that. I've kept an eye open for the people who have given me a road in, the people who have given me some initial knowledge that I could start to build upon. And I always love to recognize them.
Yeah, well said. You've brought up this concept of you being a writer. I mean, it's all evidence in your body of work, 20 books at this point. What pieces of advice can you give aspiring writers right now, whether it's traditional self-help or self-published or traditional or just people who are trying to get into the habit of actually translating the experiences into words?
Yeah, I really like the idea that writers in the beginning shouldn't have this idea that, oh, I'm going to get this published, it's going to be a hit. If you start writing with the idea that you want to make your passion someone else's business proposition, that's always rough. If you're spending time writing, because basically for most people, you'll make more money working at Burger King than you will ever with your writing. And working at Burger King is a pretty good deal now. Getting $15 an hour. I'd like to go take a job at Burger King and work there for 2 weeks just to see what the experience is like. I don't know. I think people fall into the writing trap. If you're a kid, if you're 10, 12 years old and you tell someone, I want to write, they'll put their arm around you. They'll say, that's great. What a fantastic idea. But if you're 45 and you tell people you want to write, they'll tell you you're a dreamer. You're out of your element. You're looking for something that's not going to be there. I find that so interesting. And I tell writers and people who are trying to get there, people who are searching for something, make sure what you're looking for comes to you from your writing, not from some company wanting to publish your writing. That doesn't make you a writer. What makes you a writer is producing something that you believe in, that you can show your friends and family, even if it never winds up on a library shelf. To me, those stories are really important.
Yeah, they're the ones worth telling. And speaking of important stories, where can people find all your important stories?
Public library.
Public library, right?
Library. You can go to paulvolponybooks.com. There is no link to buy a book. I'm not trying to sell you a book. If you like what's there, go to your public library, pick it out for free. They're my thoughts. Several of my books are going to outlive me by at least 50 years, and that feels good. And by the way, I love every time, because I speak probably 150 times a year at schools across the country. I love when I walk into a school and either a teacher or a student walks up to me and says, so-and-so read your book. It was the first book they ever read cover to cover. Because when I was a kid, I pretended to read the books they gave me at school. I was a good reader, but I couldn't find anything I liked. So I would just walk around with the book, pretend I was reading it, listen in class to the classroom discussion, understand what happened in the book, and then I just parrot that back to pass the class. I really wasn't reading until one day I walked in the class and I pulled my friend aside and I said, last night I went to the movies. I saw James Bond 007. Oh, so cool. He had the fast car. He had the gun. He didn't even shoot the bad guy. Shot the gun out of the bad guy's hand. It was so cool. My English teacher heard me saying that. Her name was Miss Sussman. She's the English teacher in black and white. I put her in the book as a thank you. She came up to me. She said, Paul, let me see you in the back of the room for a minute. And on the walk to the back of the room, I was saying to myself, man, I'm in trouble. I'm in English class talking about a movie. I should have been talking about a book. She's going to yell at me. We got to the back of the room. I hadn't even noticed it because I really wasn't a reader. She had her own classroom library back there. She reached up. She took out one book from the library. She handed to me, James Bond 007. She said, Paul, that movie you saw, before it was a movie, it was a book. If you like the movie so much, you should read the book. And I did. It was the first book really I had read cover to cover. And that at least began to change me a little bit. And I'm really sure it had something to do to get where I am at the moment.
What a story. What a story. Again, we'll put the links in the show notes for you to purchase the books. But I have a final question. I ask all my guests this question. So, Paul?
Yes?
How do you use your difference to make a difference?
I try to be a mirror on reality. I try to write things that I see. I don't try to shade them. I don't try to teach you. I don't want to moralize. I don't believe I'm any smarter than you. And I know I'm not any smarter than a lot of people, especially my students. I want you to read what I write and see reality in it and then bring what you see to it. That's how I try to do it when I'm not here personally. When I'm with you personally, I'm not about the books. I'm about talking to you. I'm about listening to you. I'm that guy when the old man starts to speak and tell the story from way back in the day. I'm the guy glued to him. I'm giving him the little prompts to keep on going because I realize what he has is important. I want to hear it, and it must be important if this person wants to share it with me. So when you have me in person, I try to be that listener and that person who can bring out what you're trying to say because I really want to hear it. And when you don't have me and you're just in a library and see a book on the shelf, then I've got that other way to try to connect with you.
Wow. There you have it. Paul Volpone. This has been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes. Thank you for having me. It was great to spend time with you.
Likewise. Likewise. This has been fun. This has been fun. Kings, queens, and royalty. Till next time. Use your difference.
All right.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.